Good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk about action and language, how action can be used for semiotic activity, and how also language can be considered as action. So I come from this lab here in SFL with Paris 8 University, and this work come from my PhD study, this presentation. So we're going to see, as the title shows, how we can identify practical demonstration in language activity, and also some strategies, some semiotic strategies that can be considered as very closed as demonstration, but which are different and which are linked with semiotic strategies of showing. So the general issue is this one, linking action and language. So we can say, in which ways do we act when we speak with each other? We can first identify that language is a faculty that is enacted or embodied through action and interactions, through acts, and we can... We can identify that linguistic acts and interaction are linked with non-linguistic acts and interaction, and that they can influence each other. And we can also identify that pragmatically some linguistic acts and interaction are anchored in action of the body. So this is something very interesting for me, because in the linguistic history of sign languages have been said to be different from pantomime, and that miming strategies are no language strategies. So this is an idea that is now worked out through, but that was very important around the 70s, to recognize sign language as real language, to put away all the mimetic stuff that was in. And so my point is to say, okay, sign language are no pantomime, but we can see that some mimetic strategies, some miming strategies are nonetheless used in sign language. So not everything in sign language is mimed, but some things are linked with miming strategies. And so we can speak about miming with other concepts such as simulation of action. Miming, what does it mean? It means to do something, not for will, to do an action without the will objects, or not without the complete action being done. I'm going to show you a lot of examples, and I was first interested in sign language, but I also tried to look at pantomime or miming strategies in other fields. So we can see with a kind of anthropological view where human beings use miming to interact with each other. So to seek this mimetic issue linked with language, let's see four sub-issues. One dealing with gestuality. So let's observe in spontaneous linguistic interactions how a gestural co-vocal discourse can show in various ways using this simulation of action. And also let's see how even in artistic performances, you don't have only pantomimic strategies, but also a various row of possibilities to play with this mimetic faculty. Also to identify that in mime you have some narrative pressure that can be that are closed with language issues, language issues. And I'm going to show you also a case of a practical demonstration integrated within a linguistic discourse in sign language, how it can be tricky to identify what is linguistic, what is practical, and also that we are not sure. There is something, sometimes things happening in between. And finally, sign language iconicity using this simulation of action. So the first one, give you a clear idea where the data comes from. So, as I've said before, from a PhD study on mimetic faculty and language faculty, trying to see where they articulate both. And led it away to show you the videos. And the guy is from Cambodia, the deaf man I followed. So I have one main informant interacting in various adaptative situation with people who know sign language. So this is the international sign language part of the study, and with people who know no sign language, so non-signers. And this is the emerging sign language part. And I have also filmed some natural gestuality produced with French production, vocal production. Yep, so let's see the first example with this kind of co-vocal gestuality. You're gonna see action that is not done entirely, but that is partial, and that can be called a simulation, and that is done with the object. So that is more anchored in action as a gesture that is done without the object. And this is really interesting here, because you have the two production following each other, with the object, with no object. So let's see the video here. So with the object, and without, the same form, quite the same. Okay, so the string truck goes away, with the object and without, okay? So you can see here how gesture also anchored in manipulation of action. With this example of clown mask, you really have the same strategy, the same carrying thing. And then in the gesture, you're not, for example, you won't touch it, but you touch the object because of all the pressure, practical pressures. And you here, it's very interesting to see how the context and how being in materiality make a gesture emerge, you see, and with a great arrow of form and of possibilities. So, voilà, to show you also, and we can also notice some emetic phenomena in the vocal production, such as onomatopoeia and such as a role taking. So I'm time is short, and I move on. So you saw, the same duck, and the clown mask. Concerning the some artistic performances, I took an example, a pantomime from Joël Jesque, which is a contemporary creation. And the man, so this is pantomime, but inside the story, the man made some classical stuff, such as carrying the car, toot-toot, looking right, looking up, going out the car, and then he is not in an internal point of view, but he gets out of this intern, and he gives an external point of view using strategies we can find in some discourse in sign language, such as this classical thing of somebody walking, you see. And here also he has some pointing strategy to tell the story. So this was something to show that also in arts, there is a great complexity of strategies. And I wanted also to say something. So this is a theater, and I have an example where Akko, he's working in a circus school, my main informant, and he practices also dance. And there are examples where I filmed it, simulating the action of, how do you say this? Jump. Rope jumping? Chalk. And from this material, with that object, he moved to dance. So the teacher says, mime something, and then dance with it. So that's what this was also interesting to see how human beings mime in non-linguistic context. Third sub-issue. So this there, you will see a demonstration. I just introduce it. People are practicing acrobatic stuff, and the man, Akko, sees somebody who has difficulties doing something, and he wants to advise about the way he should throw his leg. And so he says all this, saying while with showing and also showing practically. You're gonna see it. So that man, Kasper. This is signing. He doesn't understand signing. It's not clear, so I'm going to show you more. You do this and practical. You know? So he first say it iconically, with no with mimetic things, but not so much. It's in the arms, and you have the movement, which it's mimetic. And the man doesn't understand because he was in another. Another guy told him you should be more flat. So you should be more flat, and this is quite the same. You should with this. So he is ready for another information. He doesn't understand, get it first. So you see how the man informant say. I translate it with "you do it so," or "you do this," because we really see the informant keeping the hands in this way as if he was speaking, and with also the mouth open. And in the second turn, in the second movement, he really does the action. So you can see three levels of mimeticity. From linguistic to praxical and something in between. Okay, so you have these stages. Keep on speaking and really showing, and then showing again with a sign. And the last one, you're gonna see how, on the contrary, you have here a praxical gesture while signing. And the interlocutor wonders something about this practical gesture and asks the question, doing it in mirror, so really linked in this context. And finally, the Akko, the main informant, is going to answer using this simulation of the same action within a signed discourse. So the action schema that is here interesting is to take something out of the pocket for real first, and then simulating the action for sign language. You're gonna see. You see, practical. What do you do here? How? Okay, and then again and again. Voila. Chuck. Okay, so the first practical covable gesture, covable because he's signing while he's doing something, and then you have this lexical unique for use as an interrogative. What are you doing? Is it, my time is over. No, it's okay. Okay, let's. Okay, perfect. So then you have some structures that are different that we call aconic structures. Yesterday also they were described as depicting structures, or if I remember well, yeah, that's it. Iconic structures, so this is the same. We call them also transverse structures, and is playing a role, he is really making all you've seen, how he's miming, the way in when he does the show. He's a carrier, he's an acrobat, so he carries somebody who does some acrobatic, and then he received him. And so first you have this typical gesture of up. You see, and this is explaining to the other man what is the powder that is in the pocket. So what, it's in your pocket, and oh, this is the la magnésie, we say it in French. So this is the thing that helps you not sweeping when you're sweating. Yeah. So you see, from practical to linguistic action, to linguistic simulation of action. In the corpus, I also identified so other mimetic things. So here I wanted really to show you some mimetic production, but we can